You know, I'm going to start the sermon in a rather odd way. I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but all of you know how much I love animals. I mean, I really love, especially dogs. I mean, I have a close affinity to dogs. You know, it was funny because, you know, sometimes when you look at animals, you know, of all sorts, you learn things. You wonder why they do things, and you kind of ponder what their behaviors are. The other day, I was actually walking my dog, Jake, down the road, and it got to the place where, you know, after he had walked down the street, smelled things, and taken care of his business, he had to do that big business. You know what I'm talking about? And I watched him, and, you know, it was like, I knew he had to go, but he went over and kind of, and he went over here, and he went. Then he went over here and he went, and they said, no, that's not right. I mean, what was going on there? I mean, seriously, you know? I mean, that'd be like me driving down 95, getting into a rest area, going in and checking every one of the restrooms. I mean, what's going to be different between this piece of dirt and this piece of dirt? I mean, it wasn't even like, you know, there was grass there, but not grass there. I don't know what was going on. But somewhere along the line, he got to the place where he said, this one's just right. What was it, instinct? Was it instinct? I mean, seriously, I don't know. I mean, I can't see how that was a cognitive thought. It was something beyond a cognitive thought. Now, that might seem like a strange introduction to what I want to talk to you about the gospel. But maybe it's not so strange. In the gospel that we have today, it's interesting because Jesus says right out, he's teaching his disciples that the Son of Man, which is him, must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. It says he said this quite openly. At that point, Peter, his best friend, the lead apostle, it says, took him aside, began to rebuke him. But Jesus, at that point, when Peter is rebuking, turns him aside and begins to rebuke Peter. It says very clearly, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And then he says this, he says, you set your mind not on divine things, but on human things. You set your mind not on divine things, but human things. When he calls him Satan, he's not saying you're the devil. Don't misunderstand that. When he's calling him Satan, that's what rabbis did to each other in those days. You know, if you were an adversary, because the word Satan means adversary. You know, so I mean, trust me, the two of you, when he starts going off and you want him to stop, just look over and say, get behind me, Satan. See what happens. If nothing else, the shock value, he'll shut right up, okay? But the reality is that he basically is, you know, telling Peter, you're not thinking about things the right way. You're setting your mind on things that aren't where I'm setting my mind on things. You know, it's so interesting to me, and this is the part that really gets to me. This story is told in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And directly before this story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not John. John's basically a theological motif that's written for a different reason. But right before this story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of them, it's the story of Jesus going to his disciples and saying, who do people say that I am? And they respond, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Elijah, some say you're one of the other prophets. And then Jesus asks the question, but who do you say that I am? And at that point, Peter looks at him and says, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And at that point, Jesus says to Peter, blessed are you, Peter. You're favored, Peter. You know, you're favored because you couldn't have heard this of your own. You had to hear this from the Father. says that specifically in Matthew and Luke. You had to hear it from the Father. In other words, through the Holy Spirit, somehow you had to know that I was the Messiah, because you couldn't have done it on your own. So how does this guy Peter go from, in a sense, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, how does he go from there to the place where he's trying to correct Jesus and is told, get behind me, Satan? You know, I have to be honest with you. I think that he goes there just as all of us go there. You see, when Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, I think he's using his intuition spiritually, the power of the Holy Spirit. But I think when he's over there, he's listening and saying, well, look, I got the right answer last time. This is the Messiah, and if he's telling him he's going to have to die, that's not a really good way. He becomes almost like his political spin doctor and says, oh, yeah, we can't be telling all these people this. Why are they going to want to follow you, Jesus? We got to get this filing. Why are you going to follow me? You know, I mean, they aren't going to follow you, Jesus, if you tell them you're going to die. That ain't going to work, so they'll change it out. Peter goes from intuition to instinct. From intuition to instinct. Yeah, I wonder how many times we all do that. I mean, how often do you work on instinct? Instinct usually is motivated from, in a sense, things you've learned, but usually things you're afraid of. It's where you snap back, where you say that word that you really didn't want to say and you wish you could take it back. Sometimes it comes in handy. You have that instinct of, oh, it's dangerous. But is that instinct or is that intuition? Sometimes it's a real fine line. It's a gray area. But pure instinct comes from what the scripture would say, their God is their belly. It's where you live life where you think to yourself, well, there's not enough out there in the world. It's not an abundant world. There's scarcity. I got to get my own. Because God is your belly. It's where all of a sudden, I don't like the way that guy looks at me. It's where you have these snap judgments. Some of it's predetermined that you've had, you grew up with. You know what I mean? I'm saying you got it honestly, but you know what I mean? You grew up with it, and you get to that point where you're operating totally out of fear. You see, intuition means you're operating from trust and faith. Somehow there's a power greater than me that really does love me. Isn't it great when you're in that zone? I wish I could stay in that zone. But it's when all of a sudden where you can take a breath before you respond or not really respond, react back. Instinct, you don't have much time. And it's funny because most people think instinct gets you into fights all the time. And to be honest with you, instinct sometimes is when you not necessarily say something or do something. It's sometimes when you don't say something or don't do something. There's a lot of you out there that you know, your instincts are, oh God, you know, I don't want to get them any more excited, so I better just, my instinct, get away from here. You know, my instinct is, you know, I'm afraid, well, I got to get into my house. My instinct is, don't engage them. You know, it's funny, I tried to think of some way that I could illustrate this, and I thought of an experience I had. It was probably about 8 years ago. Now, in my old age, I measure everything by my replacement parts. I know that, you know, in 14, I had my knee. In 17, I had my hip. And in 18, I had my broken leg. And this was before all the replacement parts. And it was probably around 2012. I was in the place where I needed the knee, but I didn't get it yet. So, you know, I'd still be doing everything I was doing, but I'd hurt a lot of the time. Sally and I decided that we'd go biking. It was like Memorial Day weekend or 4th of July weekend. And we started riding it. Where I live on 23rd, we rode out down Atlantic, go down the sidewalk. You get to the 7-Eleven on 27th, and you can ride right across the street. Most of you know that area. You get across the street, you get on the beach, go south. There's no traffic out of me. It's a nice little cruise, you know? I mean, it's nice. And even on holiday weekends, once you get past 27th, it's not overly powering with crowds. Well, we're riding down the street. Sally's in front of me. And we get down to in front of the 7-Eleven. the light is right for us to go across to get the stoplight to go again across Atlantic, but we're going across the 27th. And as I'm riding across 27th, there is a car that stopped at the light, and just as I pull into the intersection, that car lurches forward. Lurches forward. I see it coming at me. Well, to be real honest with you, you know, when that happened, I sort of jumped off my bike, and I said something that I can't repeat here this morning, and what? I lost it. I lost it. Then to make matters worse, the two people in the car started laughing. And then I was like, you think this is blank funny? You think this is funny? And the couple that was in there was, it wasn't like boyfriend, girlfriend. It was almost like older brother or cousin that was older guy in the passenger seat. And the girl was, you know, she might have been 16, 17 years old. And I just lost it. You could see the look on their faces when I lost it. Because, I mean, I'm standing in the middle of the intersection. And I'm like, you think this is funny? At that point, the guy who, just to be very honest, who was half my age and twice my size, looked at me and said, just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. I looked at him and I got on my bike, I rode over. I'm still furious. I mean, for the first probably 2 miles going down the beach ride, I was like 10 miles in front of Sally. But the truth of the matter is that just let it go. I'll be up front with you. I was the one operating on instinct. I was threatened. I felt like they're doing it. And then to make it worse, then I got, you know, self-conscious. They were laughing at me? How dare they laugh? And he who would have pummeled me, I mean, he would have pummeled me, said, just let it go. I realized as I started going down the beach and I started getting my mind back, you know what happened? She was learning how to drive a stick shift, a standard transmission. That's all it was. And she probably let her foot off the clutch and popped forward. That's the way it was. They weren't trying to get me, even though I took it that way. And my instinct didn't, in a sense, bring a whole lot of becomingness to me. It brought out the worst side of it. You see, I think that's what happened with Peter that day. I think his instincts took over instead of relying on his intuition with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's funny because right after this, Jesus says, after he rebukes Peter, you can look at your own scripture. He says, you know, if you want to become my disciples, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. And then he says very clearly, those who want to save their life are going to lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and the gospel will find it. And then he says something really interesting. He goes, for what is it worth to a man to gain his whole, in our translation would be life, but in other translations, which I like better, it says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his true self? What can you get to learn your true self? You see, the work of a disciple truly is not getting it all right. It's to follow Jesus. To work the work of the gospel. What's the gospel? The word gospel means good news. It means you're okay. No matter what, you got a Father in heaven that's going to take care of you. But so many at times we think, well, that's a nice concept, but to be upfront with you, I've got to take care of myself. I got to do what I got to do. By God, I'm not going to. I have faith for eternal life, but everything else, I'm on my own. I do that a lot. I would venture to guess a lot of you do too. And I venture to guess it would come out in the way you probably handle your finances sometimes. Definitely on the way you handle your health. Especially handle situations that are stressful. When somebody snaps at you, you fall right into instinct and go after them. When somebody comes at you that's unfirmed, instead of saying, okay, let's talk this through, let's move away, that's what you do. But what God calls us to do is to find our true selves, which is what we're called to. It's transformation. It's transformation. It's not change, just where, well, I'm going to change my behavior. When this happens, I'm going to do this. It's where you actually go and you let go. Little did I know, you know that guy that was teaching that girl to drive her in the car? He must have been a prophet or something. Definitely a wise man. Let it go. Let it go. Why? You know, it's just one of those things. How many accidents happen around you every day? How fast are you in your own household when something goes missing that you don't know where it is, and by God, it's not in the right spot? You go to the person that you live with and say, where did you move that? It happened to me yesterday. I had a belt I was looking for, and I had to go do a funeral yesterday morning. That belt wasn't hanging where it was supposed to be. So I went immediately into Sally and said, where did you put that belt? You know, did you put it into the dry cleaning? Did it go to the dry cleaning and now we lost it? She went and searched everywhere, couldn't find it. A little bit later in the day, to tell you the truth, I went there, I said, you know, I think I wore that on a pair of jeans. I wonder if I folded those jeans up and put them back on the shelf. Lo and behold, that's where it was. It's in that simple little stuff. But that's your instinct. That's not intuition that comes from God. We are called to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that is our true self, by the way. But if we live our whole lives trying to, in a sense, protect that self that we think we're the only ones that can protect, then we'll miss that true self. And the truth will never fully be in us. Because the truth can't be in there if we keep looking at everybody else that did it wrong, but not us. You know, the older I get, the more I realize I'm wrong most of the time. But the older I get, I also hopefully realize that God is with me all the time. And if I realize that God's with me all the time, then all of a sudden I'm going to live in a different way. I don't have to react. I can take that breath in between where I say, that's really the best way to respond to this instead of just reacting to this. Trust me, you all have an example to do this. New Smyrna Beach is full to the brim. Somewhere along the line, even today, you'll have the choice to respond through intuition and the Spirit, or react through your base nature and fear. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you realize that you know you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to do it 100% of the time. But you know what? You can do it less than you're doing it right now. And I definitely can. As you come to the Eucharist, know God's with you. He's not going to give up on you. But He wants you to be transformed from a little bit less of what you are right now and turn into a little bit more of what you ought to be, even at 71 years old. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.